Welcome to the Super Quotient Club, aligning body, mind and soul with Yoga Sutra of Patanjali, 22nd Sutra, Chapter 2. Kritartham pratinashtam apyanashtam tadanya sadharanatvat. Although the seen ceases to exist for the liberated Purush, whose purpose is accomplished, it has not ceased to exist altogether, since it still exists to serve other common non-liberated Purush. The whole idea of this nature is to make the soul know that it is entirely separate from nature. And when the soul knows this, nature has no more attractions for it. But the whole of nature vanishes only for that man who has become free. There will always remain an infinite number of others for whom nature will go on working. This sutra is not talking about the destruction of the universe. It is describing a change in the realized yogi's relationship with the universe. Before liberation, Prakriti created a limitless storehouse of sense objects that the mind craved, and what was mistakenly believed could bring happiness. With the attainment of liberation, Prakriti loses its central place in life, no longer holding the same relevance. In short, before self-realization, nature is the center of our universe. We know it as a solid reality, whose inviolable laws govern our lives. Meanwhile, the self, what we intellectually believe to be the true center of existence, is experienced as an elusive dream. With liberation, the tables are turned. Nature is experienced as the dream, while the self is the rock-solid reality. This sutra is important to the yoga school, which postulates an eternal plurality of Purush, whether in the liberated or non-liberated state. This is in distinction to the Advait or non-dualist school of Vedanta, which holds that the plurality and individuality of the Purush exist only in the non-liberated state of ignorance. This Advait school of Vedanta maintains that upon attaining enlightenment, the Purush, more typically referred to as Atma by followers of Vedanta, realizes that all plurality and individuality is the product of illusion and merges into the all-encompassing non-dual absolute truth, Brahman. If there were ultimately only one Atma, as the Advait school posits, then when any one Purush attains liberation, so would all other Purush, since according to the Advait school, they are all in reality one Purush or Atma. If one responds that the realization of the oneness of Atma applies only to the liberated Purush, but not to the other non-liberated Purush, then one has implicitly accepted a duality in the supposed oneness of Atma, a duality between liberated and non-liberated Purush. Such a conclusion would be awkward for the defenders of this position, contradicting the non-dualistic position of the Advait school, but approaching the position of the yoga school. Further, Patanjali has anyway already established that Ishwar is a distinct Purush and superior to the other Purush. This sutra also positions the yoga tradition as a realist, the view that the world is objectively and externally real, irrespective of whether we perceive it. as opposed to the idealist Advaita, that the world is not objectively or externally real, but a product of the mind.